Happy Easter to all of those that are worshiping online, as well as at all of our campuses, and for all guests. We're just delighted that we can be together and celebrate today. You know, if you were to ask the average person what they think of Easter, I think overall people would give a positive response. And, I think they say things like, hey, it's spring after a long, hard winter, or it's a time that's uplifting and inspiring. And those things are true. This past week, I went to the card store, three of them actually, trying to find an Easter card, and I found all kinds of positive sentiments that I think reflect how people generally feel about it, but I never did find the card that I wanted to get for a friend of mine because over 95% of the cards were covered with baby chicks, colored eggs, and fuzzy bunnies. And I just wasn't going to spend the money on those, and yet I thought, why does Easter associate those images with this season of the year? It's so interesting to me when you think about what Easter truly is. I mean, after all, fans of football have the incredible opportunity to go to the Super Bowl, and baseball fans have the World Series, and basketball fans have the big dance, and golf fans have the Masters, and oh, what a Masters it was. Way to go, Tiger. And fans of Jesus Christ have Easter. This is our weekend. And you talk about a come-from-behind victory. There is none greater and none better. On Friday, he was dead, and on Sunday, he's alive. On Friday, there's a crucifixion, and on Sunday, there's a resurrection. That's Easter. Today, I get to the privilege of reminding you why the bodily, physical resurrection of Jesus Christ matters. It matters to Jesus, and it matters to you and to me. It matters in terms of the thoughts you think and the choices you make and the feelings you have. And it matters in terms of the life that you wish for and the love that you long for and the hope that you need. And hope is alive, friends, because Jesus is alive. And that's why the physicality of Jesus' resurrection is so important. Unfortunately, there is this emerging debate in some circles raising questions about whether or not Jesus really did rise from the dead, questioning the physical resurrection of Jesus. Newsweek ran an article called Rethinking the Resurrection. Time magazine printed a piece called The Search for Jesus. And to my surprise and shock, quite honestly, that even in Christian churches across this country, there is a question about the resurrection of Jesus. And many are just not embracing it as true any longer, even in our churches, and replacing it instead with the embrace of an ethical Jesus. You know, the mindset that says, yes, he was real, and he was a great guy and a good teacher, but a physical resurrection, come on, who would believe such a thing? Well, this may surprise you, but actually the debate is nothing new. It's always been there. The disciples' first encounter with the resurrected Jesus was met with entire skepticism. And you can just visualize them. They're hunkered down out of fear for their own lives in this room, and there's a rumor that the tomb is empty, and it unsettles them. And Luke picks up the story this way. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." And they were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do you have doubts that rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of boiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. I just love this. I mean, food just calms everybody down, right? You don't expect that. Jesus says, "I'm a ghost. Let's sit down and eat together along the way." So we don't see that coming. You know, what a great thing that Scripture includes, even those humorous little anecdotes in there. The very last thing that the disciples felt when they encountered Jesus in his risen state was being inspired. I don't think they were even comforted. Seeing a man who was dead and buried suddenly show up in your living room, walking around, talking with you, inviting you to touch him and then to eat with him. I mean, in those moments, you're not necessarily thinking about baby chicks and colored eggs and fuzzy bunnies. You're just not. See, why were the disciples so startled and frightened? Why do we find them troubled and filled with so much doubt? It's because they did not expect him to show up the way that he showed up. They're completely taken back and terrified because of it. And it's because Easter is not just this nice little spiritual story or an inspiring moral lesson. No, Easter is about the physical resurrection of Jesus after a brutal killing on a cross that would give life to you and to me and to those all around the world. And we see it for them. It radically changes them in that moment because they move from this place of fear to faith. They suddenly are filled with joy instead of sadness, and they move from hiding to proclaiming. That's what happens to them. No, the message begins to spread, and churches get planted in towns and villages and cities. But still, there's this nagging tension about the physical resurrection that hovers over many. How could it be that a dead man physically rose to life? Well, Paul addresses their skepticism, writing in his first letter to the church of Corinth, where they were struggling with this very question, these words, we find it in chapter 15. Now, I want to remind you of the gospel that I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. And after that, he appeared to more than 500 at the same time. And then Paul goes on in the rest of the letter to elevate the truth of the physicality of the resurrection of Jesus, grounded in the repeating of this two-letter word, if. And I want to give my energy and attention to that two-letter word, but I got a special invitation for you this Easter. I've wanted to do this 24 years of Westwood's history. I've never done it, but I'm going to do it right now. I'm going to invite you to preach the message with me. You feel a little nervous about that? You can appreciate what I have to deal with all the time, but it's really doable, as you'll see here in just a moment. You know, the custom in the church for Easter gatherings in the church of the ages past is to greet each other with the resurrection greeting, where I say, he is risen, and you say,
he is risen indeed.
You've got it already. No pressure, all right? So when I give you the cue, and it'll be clear, you preach the message with conviction if you believe this to be true. This is why the physicality of Jesus' body and the resurrection is so important and why it matters. The first if Christ is not risen, then Jesus is not who he says he is. And that means, friends, that my preaching and your faith is useless. At least that's what we're told in verse 12. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. And the word useless here can be translated in different ways. It can be translated empty or worthless or without purpose. Well, let me give you some perspective here. There are over 400 prophecies in the Old Testament pointing to the coming of the Messiah's life, his death, and his resurrection. And Jesus does not shy away from one of those predictions. In fact, he fulfills each of those 400 plus in specific detail. If Jesus did not physically rise from the dead, then the Bible is empty because it's filled with promises that never happened or never will happen. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, then Jesus is a liar because he said that he would rise. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, then he is not whom he says he is, and he is not to be trusted by you or me or anyone in the world. No, our faith would be useless. We have nothing to believe. I mean, do we believe in a God who is dead? Do we pray to a Savior whose body is dust? Friends, don't waste your time if that's the case. I think we should just go home. In fact, I think we should go do something else, play volleyball, have a barbecue, enjoy the rest of the day, and forget it if it means nothing. But no, we're here because everything hinges on the resurrection. The resurrection, in fact, is the exclamation mark to the entirety of Jesus' life and ministry. The Bible is true. Jesus fulfilled each of those predictions in detail. Our preaching and your faith is not useless. It has purpose. It is not empty. Your faith is full of life. It is not a waste of time. Hope is alive because Jesus Christ is alive. And we know that with certainty because he is risen. He is risen indeed. Oh, keep it up. Keep going. You're on it. Second, if Christ is not risen, then the apostles are false witnesses. They are liars, and so am I. And I don't like to be told that I'm a liar any more than you do. And yet, verse 15 picks it up. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. We know that Jesus makes these post-resurrection appearances, and multiple times he comes before the disciples. We know in the one moment, in one crowd of 500, he shows up in his risen state. You know, if Jesus didn't come back from the dead, then all of these people made it up. And they bought into a hoax even when their life was threatened. What is the possibility of that? It means that for 2,000 years, some of the greatest minds of all history have believed this lie and even preached it. That right now, in this Easter hour, there are pastors and priests and ministers and believers all over the world that are speaking of the risen Christ. And could it be that we're all proclaiming something, an experience that we've had that simply is not true? Scholar N.T. Wright said, "If Jesus was not raised from the dead, we simply would never have heard of him." That there are tens of thousands of people, as a matter of historical fact, that were crucified by Romans at the cross. And many of them were would-be messiahs. But of all these would-be messiahs, only the name of Jesus of Nazareth is known to us. And his name is known throughout the world and throughout history, unlike any other name has ever been known. No, there's no other way to explain the sudden emergence of the church. One day it didn't exist, and the next day it does exist. There's no other way to explain how terrified disciples were suddenly filled with this devotion so great that they would risk their lives by proclaiming that Jesus is not dead, he is alive. They and we are true and faithful witnesses because we know with certainty that he is risen. He is risen indeed. Third, if Christ is not risen, then we're still in our sins. Paul shows us a connection between the resurrection of Jesus and the sufficiency of his death to cover your sin, my sin, and even the sin of the world in verse 16. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. What a humbling truth that would be. If we're still in our sins, it means that we're still under condemnation, that we're still separated from God. But I will tell you, I know that I am not separated from God. And many of you can attest to the same. We just know that we are living in a vital union with a God who is alive, and it's changed everything about our lives and journey. He is not dead. He is alive. We know it to be true because we've experienced it firsthand. And so we find this incredible picture here. If Jesus had lived long enough and put himself in this place of understanding his own life, our living faith would find itself to be borne out in the choices we make. No, I know that I'm alive because Christ has forgiven my sins, and he's given me this incredible capacity to forgive others, that we are forgiven and we forgive others with freedom. And think about this. If Jesus had lived long enough and died quietly in his sleep as an old man, I don't know if you've ever thought about that. What if he didn't die on the cross and he just lived to be an old man and he dies in his sleep that way? You know, quite honestly, we would have forgotten about him centuries ago, like thousands of other great teachers that have gone before him. We would have just forgotten about him. No, his story goes viral. And why is that? Because he died. And he knew he was going to die. And in fact, he chose how he was going to die on a cross for the forgiveness of sins so that there would be hope that would spread through the world, that it would go viral, which it did. And so we find this beautiful picture. The death on the cross has changed everything, beginning with the cross itself, by the way. How many of you have a cross in the form of jewelry or as a decoration hanging in your wall? Just raise your hands. You know, it's just what everybody in the room has that. Well, consider this as well. More graves in cemeteries are marked with the symbol of the cross than any other symbol. Why would that be? You know, the cross is a means of violent torture and tormenting ridicule and killing by execution. I mean, you think about it, nobody in their right mind would mark their grave with an electric chair or a noose or a guillotine. Why in the world would anyone mark a grave with a cross or wear jewelry of a cross or put in decoration of your home a cross? It's because of Jesus. It's the only explanation. It's because he used the cross. And the people in power thought they used the cross to stop Jesus, and it was not the case. Jesus decided that he would use the cross to show us what love really looks like and what hope is for. That Jesus would use the cross to show people the power of forgiveness over hate so we could have some peace in this world that we live in. Jesus decided that he would use the cross to show people the power of life over death. No, the Bible teaches it with such clarity. We are sinners, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everyone is a sinner. And that Jesus comes, and on that cross, he pays the penalty for your sin and my sin so that we are forgiven, so that we don't die, so that we live today and forevermore. No, hope is alive because Jesus is alive, and we know that with great certainty because he is risen. He is risen indeed. Fourth, fifth, and final one. If Christ is not risen, then those who have died in Christ are still lost. This one is something to take hold of. It means that everyone who has died before you in faith is still dead. Verse 18, if Christ has not risen, then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. And that little phrase, fallen asleep, means to die. And lost means there's no hope. We're hopeless. Paul paints this depressing picture of a resurrection-less faith. Imagine people following Christ their whole lives and then dying and seeing that death is still the end. There's nothing more. No, if Christ is not risen, then everyone is lost, including the apostles and the mother of Jesus, the great Christian leaders like Augustine and Luther and C.S. Lewis and Mother Teresa and Billy Graham, and even our own loved ones who have died before us are lost. I mean, do you believe that people who have died before you in your own sphere of influence are gone and lost forever? Is this all there is? I mean, how futile would this be? As I sat on this one, in my head, I started to name my faith-believing family and friends and colleagues who've died already ahead of me. And as I'm thinking and reflecting about them, quite honestly, I'm missing them very much. And you can name your own, and you would miss them very much as well. And so we have this conviction in our hearts. We live with this hope that our lives will be reunited with their lives in the life to come. Why? Because of the physical bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because in his resurrection, Christ conquers death and the sting of death is removed. We will see him face to face. We will be reunited with those who have gone before us because our hope is alive, because Jesus is alive, and we are certain that he is risen. He is risen indeed. I love Easter. Don't you love Easter? I could go on and on, but I got to wrap it up here. And I want to wrap it up, but it's so beautiful and so powerful for us. And this past fall, I had the great privilege of officiating a wedding of a dear, dear friend of mine, and it was in Northern California, and it's really nice outside. And the wedding was outside, and in the courtyard, they had this big Jenga game. You know that Jenga game? And little children and grandmas and grandpas were all playing. It was so much fun. And you know how it's played. One person pulls out a piece, another person pulls out a piece, another person pulls out a piece. And the idea here is that you don't want to be that one person who pulls out the one piece that causes the whole structure to collapse and fall apart, right? Well, think about this in terms of the Christian faith. The one piece is the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ. You pull this piece out of your life, and eventually, all of your life collapses. It's the most important piece. We want to pay attention to it. Can anyone really believe that you can pull out that piece from your life and still know forgiveness? Still know what it means to love and to be loved? To have the hope of life today and for eternity? The hope of being reunited with those who have gone before you? No, it's not possible. And so we have this picture, this Easter, an invitation to be sure that this peace is secured in your mind and your heart, to believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin and the salvation of your soul. Why? Because it matters. It matters in terms of the thoughts you think and the choices you make and the feelings you have. It matters in terms of the life that you wish for and the love that you long for and the hope that you need. Oh, we find hope is alive because Jesus is alive. And how do we keep that hope alive? By that peace of believing in the physical resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to just tell you one last story before we go. Many of you know the story of Johnny Erickson Tada, well-known author, communicator around the world, amazing story. And her journey is a tender one. She became a quadriplegic as a result of a diving accident when she was just 17 years of age. And every week when she attended church after that accident, the priest would say during the liturgy, "Now let's kneel down and pray." And I always drove home the point to her that she couldn't get out of the chair, that she was stuck in this given place. She was once at a Christian convention, and the speaker said, "Now let's kneel down and worship." And everyone in the place did, except for Johnny. She was locked in the wheelchair, and she began to cry, not because she couldn't move physically, but because she was moved spiritually. I just want you to hear what she says. "Sitting there, I was reminded that in heaven, I will be free to jump up, dance, kick, and do aerobics. And sometime before the guests are all called to the banquet table of the wedding feast of the Lamb, the first thing I plan to do on resurrected legs is to drop on grateful, glorified knees. I will quietly kneel at the feet of Jesus." You don't expect that. And she concluded her statement saying, "Can you imagine the hope the resurrection gives to someone who has a spinal cord injury like me? The resurrection promises not just new hopes, new feelings. The resurrection promises us new physical bodies. If you can't dance and you've always wanted to dance," she says, "the resurrection says one day you will dance more beautifully than the world's best dancer now. You will be on the World of Dance with J-Lo, celebrating the risen power of Jesus at work in your new body." This Easter, if you believe that Jesus died on the cross and that he rose physically to forgive you of your sins and to give you life, then I just know in your heart you get to sing and dance all the way to the end of this life through the beginning of the life still to come. But if you don't know Jesus died and rose to give you life, then would you know it today, this Easter? Would you take the hands off the steering wheel of your life that you're trying to lead and realize you can't lead it in the way that he wants to lead it for you and with you? Slide over to the passenger seat and let him take the wheel and lead your life. I promise you, your life will get better every day because of who he is. And if that's where you're at and you're going, "I don't know what it means to be forgiven of sin, that freedom and joy. I don't know what it means to have a personal encounter with the living Christ," then I want to invite you to pray this prayer with me. I want to invite everybody to stand, if you would. Just bow your heads with me. And if you'd like to know Jesus today, then pray these words just quietly in your heart with me. "Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I take the hands off the steering wheel of my life. I scooch over, and I let you take the wheel. I believe you died and rose for me. I believe as I confess my sin that you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sin." What a gift. "I believe you are my life giver, and I receive Jesus as Son of God, Savior of my soul, and the Lord of my life. Amen and amen." Hey, tonight at 7 o'clock, we're going to have a party. Over 60 people are going to declare through baptism death to sin and the rising power of Jesus Christ in what will be an incredible experience. 7 o'clock tonight here in the Chanhassen campus for what is really being called the party of 2019, you know? Come and party with us and celebrate. And if you would like to be baptized, you can still do so. Stop at the info spot, indicated desire. If you prayed that prayer, I encourage you to do so. And come and let's celebrate a great party tonight in honor of the risen Lord. But let's sing praise to Him as we do.